Welcome to the Talking Nutrition Podcast with your host, Johan Vesters. Yeah! Where every week you'll learn about all things nutrition, training, health, and mindset. No quick fixes, no restrictive diets, just real results that last. This is Talking Nutrition, powered by Odyssey Coaching Systems.
All right, what's up and welcome back to Talk Nutrition. Today, we're going to dive into mindset with my good friend, Tim Booty. Veiteberg, what's up, Tim? How are you?
Good. Thank you for having me.
Of course. Always a pleasure. So Tim and I did a podcast on his podcast last week. I'm not too sure when it's going to launch, but it'll probably be up before this one. But in that episode, of course, we talked mostly nutrition. I wanted to bring Tim on to talk about mindset and specifically like the things he teaches in his coaching. He's also a public speaker, habit experts. And he wrote a book as well about mindset, which is called Det Ingenlæte Mig om Mindset, which is in Norwegian. And I actually listened to the audiobook yesterday, which I thought was really cool. I feel like I'm at a point now, like where I'm like with Norwegian, I'll understand like 95-99%, you know? So I can actually start reading and, you know, listening to audiobooks.
That's good. But,
yeah, I'm getting there, you know, like gonna start speaking it as well. That's the hard part. But I thought it was really cool because you share a lot of personal insights and personal lessons. And I really like that. So before we dive in, like, would you mind sharing a little bit about your own journey that kind of got you into coaching eventually, right? And really what drove you to do what you do?
Yeah, thank you. That's a really broad and open question. And
I know. We can go any direction with that one.
But I'm going to share something with you that I've realized lately. And that is, I think I got into coaching because I was also hurt. Like as a child, like I had a rough childhood. And I think like there's a deep part of me that wanted to heal myself and then be able to help heal others. I don't know how that resonates with you, but as I got aware of it, it's like, where does my drive and passion to do coaching come from? And when I look back, I see a lot of my choices has built on this. All right, so once I understand something, once I figure something out, once I learn something, I'm dying to give it away. Like, and I've known that since I was 12. I did it, like, through school. When I started in the military, I was a Coastal Ranger for active duty for 3 years. And, like, even when I mastered gun shooting, I would ask, can I be an assistant instructor for the recruits? Because I just love giving away. And I didn't know that path would take me to using it in personal development and in people development and helping create a safe environment for people, a free people. But that's where it is today. And my story is, I think, like, a lot of good stuff comes from pain. And I just have to say that. And a lot of my experiences that I did not choose has been hardship. I've been a victim to a lot of violence in my childhood. I lost my dad in a gun shooting when I was 12. I've seen a lot of addiction. Now, all of that accumulated also gives me some extreme strengths. One of them is empathy. And I think the connection to this is, when you're a child and you're in an environment where you're searching for safety, your sensors are really turned on. So in that, I would check in on everybody. How's everybody doing? How's mom doing? How's my dad doing? How's my aunt doing? How's everybody doing? And in that, I created an enormous amount of empathy, which I today is a super strength, right? When I meet people and I coach people, I get to use that. And then I think the big topic is, okay, so we walk into this conversation, we want to dive into mindset. And I'm so passionate about it because that was my first life learning. Like a pivotal moment in my life was failing sniper school at the age of 21. In my upbringing, with the baggage that I told you, a lot of my self-worth and self-esteem and the thoughts and ideas that I had about myself were not good. It came from a place of, I do not have this. I'm sorry. It came from a place of lack. Throughout school, this also played out. I would tell myself I'm not a school kid. I would tell myself all these stories. And then I got into the military. And it was just by coincidence and luck that I picked the Coastal Ranger Commando. But when I came up there, I realized after just a couple of days, like, everybody here has the same chance of getting good. That was the first time. I was 18, 19 years old. And I looked around and I saw everybody puts on the uniform for the first time. Everybody gets the gun for the first time. Everybody learns how to put up a tent for the first time. Everybody learns the first thing at the same time. And it gave me a massive amount of motivation, a drive, engagement. I didn't understand it at the time. It was just like automatically living inside of me. But that put me on a trajectory of achieving, getting better. And after the first year, they were asking for 10 soldiers to become professional elite soldiers on a contract for the first time in history at that command. And I got one of those positions based on the effort that I'd done the previous year. And I continued that motivation and that thrive and that work. And I got to go to the United States as an international student on U.S. Marine Corps Scout Basic Training. Scout Base. U.S. Marine Corps Sniper Basic Training. Or something like that. I'm drawing a blank. It's a 12-week course. I was 20 years old when I got on the plane. And there's a lot of stuff in the middle. But basically, at around week 9 or 10, I fail. Because these ideas, these thought patterns, the inner voice, the devil on my shoulder came back. It had been away for a couple of years. And then all of a sudden, it came back. Why are you here? Why did they pick you? You're worthless. And I failed. And that failing put my body into a crash. Now, at the time, I didn't understand. I came back to Norway. I was filled with shame. I blamed myself. I felt guilty. Like, it cost a lot of money. My command was super cool. They were like, we appreciate the effort that you've done. And you come along with a lot of knowledge that we can use. But still, this was just building on the self-worth image that I had from a child, right? And I ended up leaving the command. And 7 years later, I think it was, after failing sniper school, I came over Carol Dweck's book about mindset. Change your mindset, change your life. And when I read that book, it was like a eureka moment. Oh my God. It wasn't the instructors. It wasn't that sniper feel was bad. It wasn't the other students. It was me. It was my own thoughts. It was my own responsibility. And from that moment on, I really dove into mindset. And I have ever since. And today, I think Carol Dweck's book was written in 2006. I read it in 2008. We're in 2025. And still people don't know about this.
So huge.
It's mind-boggling. And so a year and a half ago, I was going through a rough time. And I had to use my energy on something else. And it came to me, like, I've read so many books about mindset, about how to use your mind to create the reality that you want and not be a victim to it. So I decided to write that book based on just my experiences and what I knew. And it wasn't going to be a book that they have at the universities, like a heavy book that's heavy to read. I wanted it to be something that my children, who were 9 at the time, and my grandmother could read. Like, with an easy language, easy to understand. So I condensed, I would say, like 10 to 15 theoretical American books into a 140-page book that is easy to comprehend and to bring with you and to deploy in your everyday life.
I love the mindset book in particular. I mean, first of all, like, that's the main one that comes to mind when I talk about mindset and think of, like, what's a good book? Like, I'm always like, that's the one, you know? Just understanding that at least if we have that growth mindset, which you can cultivate, right? You can learn everything, you know, you can overcome anything, you can figure anything out. To get to that point, though, I think it's the hard part, going from fixed to a growth mindset, which I think really would be probably the biggest step for people to try to take. Because once you get to that point, you can keep improving.
I'm sorry, I'm just kidding.
No, you're good. Go ahead.
Let's say if we raise the bar, like there's one thing you've taught me in our collaboration is like raise the bar. If you don't hit it, at least you're going to jump higher. So what if when we, if we have the bar at, people should understand the concept of growth and fixed mindset. We always land a little lower, right? And just for your audience, I would recommend, like, I don't think we should.
Let's break it down, yeah.
We should not break it down because it's easy to understand. I want to raise the bar just a little bit. Pick up the conversation and say, what if all the limitations that you have in your life is created in the mind? Like, then fixed and growth mindset would be way down the ladder. What if all the limitations that you have is from the mind? Like, what we know today is that HeartMath Institute has done research that our heart and our intuition is way faster than our mind. And they've done multiple studies on this. They did a research on, they flipped images where they would put sensory measurements on the body and in the brain, and they would see, like, before the image flipped, if there was a car crash, we would respond before seeing the image. If it was something joyful, we would respond before seeing the image. So our mind is a useful tool. And the reason I want to start there is because just by acknowledging that your thoughts, it's just a toolbox. Like, it's not what should control us. It's not what should drive us. It's just there to help us in any situations. Now, unfortunately, in today's society, we've become so cognitively driven that we think we should think ourselves through every problem. Well, what if that's where all our limitations are? What if what we can achieve is limited by what we can see in our mind and by the stories that we tell ourselves? And then being fixed versus growth is just a minor part of it. Like, I would invite people to be more curious about what is the stories that I tell myself. When something happens that does not go in accordance with what I wanted or what I planned, how does that sound in your head? What does that inner voice say? Does it say, life sucks? It never goes my way? Why does this always happen to me? Which is blaming? Which is on the fixed side? Or do you say, now I understand. Everything happens for a reason. There's something here that I'm supposed to understand, but I can't yet see it. Because, excuse me for a second.
Be good.
I think our mind is one of our biggest limitations, and in that also comes who we are in the world. Now, understanding some basic scientific principles is always useful, right? So when you are fixed, you think that, okay, so this is what was given to me by birth. Given an effort has no value. My identity is my skills and traits. And you're afraid of failing, or you're afraid of the results because what other people might think of you. And like you said, versus being growth-minded, like, everything is an opportunity. Okay, so I get a new challenge. Instead of thinking, oh my God, will I fail? Your question would be, how may I grow? What can I learn? What are the options? What are the opportunities? Giving feedback is just a pure source of motivation because somebody else sees something that makes you understand yourself better. But in that, I'm jumping into this, I think, faster than I used to. I think this has been marinating with me for a while. So you get some fresh thoughts here. On my jersey, it says lead with heart. And my company says is heart mentality. So it's heart and mentality. And one of my biggest lessons over the past 2 years has been, when you get stuck in the mind, you create limitations. In your mind is where your ego lives. And your ego is always consumed with remembering the past and preserving it in the future, which takes away the ability to be in the now, right? So when I address mindset, it's because I want you to be aware that your mind is creating limitations for you to be in the now, to go from in your head and in your thoughts and down to your heart. And I think that is the biggest shift that needs to be made. Because everybody knows this. If I ask you, like, have you ever felt in advance of a decision that your intuition or your gut feeling said go right, then you went left, and afterwards you said, ah, dang it, I knew I should have gone right. Everybody would say, yeah, it happened a bunch of times. Exactly. That is your heart and your intuition trying to tell you. Like, all of the answers are there. And just to add on that, and stop me, please, if I go on.
No, you could.
When your mind wants to predict the future, it has the biggest limitation because it's just a historical machine, which means it only knows what has happened up until now. But the human default deficiency is that we think by using that we can predict the future. But that is just an illusion because we don't know what's going to happen in an hour. We have no idea, but our mind is created to put pieces of puzzles together so we think that we can understand the future. And this is where it starts to become difficult because in your mind, you want to control. You want to control all your past achievements. If you're fixed, your past achievements are your medals, your honors, everything. And you don't want to lose it. What happens if you lose it? Then you lose your self-worth, right? So we tend to over-control. We tend to over-plan. We tend to over-strategize. And we stick in our head and our mind. When what we should do more is ask ourselves, okay, in the now, what should I do? What's important now? Which is one of our key words in the book, to win. What's important now? And it draws you back to this moment. Out of mind, into body. And you're into breathing too, right?
Some, yeah. Right? I've mostly done it at night to help, you know, falling asleep, kind of calm my nervous system down. Probably not as much as you. But I've definitely played around with it, you know, and I haven't done it a lot recently, to be fair.
Hey, what's up? Sorry to interrupt. I promise we'll keep it short. As you already know, we don't do ads here, and I really just do this podcast out of passion for helping everyday people like yourself learn more and get results. Now, because I do this absolutely for free, would it be cool to ask you for a quick rating on Spotify or Apple? You can do it while you're listening. It really just takes a few seconds, and it would actually mean the world to me and help us grow the show and reach more people like you. Thank you so much. Now let's get back to the episode.
I just love the idea that the breath is the most natural thing that you have. Was that your cat going crazy?
Yeah, my cats were chasing each other.
I love that.
It's cold outside, so the one that usually goes out, he's like super bored. He's always chasing the other one. Hey, go. Sorry about that.
That's awesome. Because there's one thing, right? To ground us in this moment, your heartbeat, it only beats in the now. And that's something that has grown with me since writing the book. Is okay, so why would you write a book about mindset? It's because I want you to understand that you're not your thoughts, that you're not your results, and all the inner stories that you tell yourself may or may not be true, at least the limiting ones, right? But one thing that is always true is that your heartbeat beats only in the now. So if you can take that longest journey of your life and go those 35 centimeters from your mind and down to your heart, Because your mind will jump, right? Past, future, present, past, future. And just go down to your heart. It's like, boom, 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 only here. That is why my way in was through the mind and creating that understanding. And that's where real magic happens. Like, once you're in the moment and just going with the flow, that's where energy is. Like, and you can feel this. Everybody knows this when we talk about it, right? How does it feel if you sit in this moment or you're in your kitchen? standing right there in the middle of the kitchen doing nothing, but your mind goes to what you're doing in 2 days that you're scared of. What happens? Well, you get a physiological response. Like you start sweating and shaking and, oh my God, I'm doing this job. And that's a fear response that's created by a thought, which is ridiculous. Because in this moment, there are no lions. And that is a human strength, but it's also the biggest human deficiency. Because used the right way, you can stand in the middle of your kitchen and you can envision a future that's brighter, better, more powerful, filled with love, achievement, and get those feeling in advance and instead be filled with that. And it's a choice. And that is probably one of my, you texted me and said, what's your key message? And it's hard to come up with it, but as we talk, like I think one of my key messages is like, you have a choice always to choose your mindset in any given situation. And that is so empowering.
It's super empowering. It's also hard, I think. And I think the most important thing, first of all, is to even just know that that exists and that you have that power over that, over your thoughts.
Yeah.
Now, it's difficult, especially if we're in a very hard period of life, you know. And we all do this. We beat ourselves up. We always focus on, like, you know, our failures. And we make it so much bigger. Like, it's just something we do, you know?
It's generalized, we do, right?
Generalized, yeah.
But the thing is, why do we do?
Exactly. Because you could, I mean, with this knowledge, right, you could do the opposite in the actual moment and make it so much better. Literally just by kind of stopping yourself and then, or at least trying to catch yourself in that moment. And then doing something like breathing or meditation or journaling or something to work through those thoughts. And then you might actually come to a realization of like, hey, okay, so maybe it's not too bad. Maybe I can make it through this. And people listening too, I mean, you just shared a few very difficult periods of life and big setbacks. And, you know, we all go through failures and stuff. What's happened in the past doesn't have to happen again. It could, right? But let's not forget all the positive stuff that may happen as well. Yeah. And the chance that you will get better. And I think, again, it is difficult though, right? To catch yourself in those moments before you spiral.
It is. Right? And keep in mind, when I share my story, I got curious about this in 2010. So it means that if you're new to this, I have a 15-year head start. And I think you're right by saying, like, this is not easy work. But okay, like, nothing in life is easy. Like, that is one of the mindset things that I talk about as a public speaker is, who told you? Like, who? Show me the book. Which grandparent told you life is going to be easy? Huh. Hey, son. Hey, daughter, let's go on a ride. It's going to be just joyful. Sunshine and rainbows. Nobody has ever said that. Now, to me, it's fascinating that we go through life and when shit happens, we crumble. If nobody, but the thing is, we don't talk about the hard stuff. That is where it is. Like, we don't talk about it at all. Nobody said it was going to be easy, but nobody said, hey, like, just keep in mind, you're going to fail. And today, my son, we're going to talk about who you are in the face of adversity. How do you handle challenges? Who are you in the face of fear? How do you fail? How do you feel good? It's not a curriculum. It's not at school. It is now. Like, they're getting a lot better at it. But for our generation, not at all, right? And so I think it's important to coin that. But there's one thing. The secret ingredient is curiosity. I've been asked these questions 100 times on podcasts and interviews in leadership development, mental training, and coaching. What is the one secret ingredient? It's curiosity. It opens up all the other doors one by one. All right, so I fail at something. my mind goes to blaming myself. Curiosity is a healthy curiosity. What can I do differently the next time? What did I learn? Who can help me? What is it that I don't understand? And our mind is created to answer questions. So being curious opens up. But we gotta be mindful with what kind of questions we ask. I don't know if you got to that portion of the book, but
yeah, I did. Yeah.
There's a lady, and this book is so under-communicated. Marilee G. Adams wrote a book, Change Your Questions, Change Your Life. And she separates between judging questions and learner questions. And so those two books, I picked them up like sequentially, and I read them both within a couple of months, and it literally changed my mind. Because being curious allows you to think more flexible, be cognitively open, and it opens up for another level of understanding. So if you're new to this, and you're like, okay, where do I start? Well, if you spill something on the floor and you want to blame somebody, ask, why do I react this way? How can I think differently about the situation? If you lose a sale, or if you lose a match, be curious. What was it that I was supposed to learn in this situation? And I just love that.
Me too. I think curiosity is great. Also, just understanding why you do or think certain things as well can be such an eye-opener. And if you, again, without judging yourself, really just, or judging other people for that matter, thinking about, okay, I have these certain character traits, or I do these certain things, or I have these certain thoughts that I don't like about myself. Okay, cool. Like, first of all, we can change it. But second, like, where do they come from? Is it my environment? Is it my parents? I mean, we all have our family, but let's be honest, we get both the good and the bad. Yeah. And you also cannot blame them either, because they're always just trying to do their best as well, you know?
Which is important. I have to stop you there, because that's a major point.
Like, 100%.
Once you start being curious and you figure out that, oh my God, my father only gave me conditional love. Like, instead of blaming him, you have to say what you just said. I understand.
And just then also even putting that in perspective. Like, okay, so let me put myself in his or her shoes. Bless you. Listener can't hear, but Tim is like coughing his lungs out right now because he's sick, but he's muted. So no, but like just becoming curious there even, you know, like stepping in their shoes and thinking, okay, so if I were in their shoes, not in my own, but in their shoes, would I have done or said or thought the same? And where do they get their traits from? Can we go back another generation? And then all of a sudden you start to understand things. And then you do also see that people are just going through their own struggles, and people have their own strengths and flaws. We have plenty of flaws, you know? Yeah. And I don't think we should either. Like, dude, 100%. This is the stuff that people don't talk about, you know? Maybe more and more these days.
I know.
But our generation, and then a generation before that, and then before that, I feel like there's like less and less talking about things. And I like that it now becomes more common.
And you see, this is where I'm not going to downplay my own book, but dude, it is just a small, brief introduction to the self-knowledge and self-awareness that you can acquire. Like, you have to go through mindset. In 2025, we're so stuck in our mind, but we want to end up where you are right now in what you're trying to explain. Like, okay, there's a level of compassion, a level of empathy, self-love to myself, to my environment, like all around. And see, this is where we come back to the heart. Like the guy at the store that turns around and goes nuts, that screams at you because you bumped him with a cart. Like just looking at him and be like, it's okay, buddy. I understand. Like, you probably had a rough time today. You probably come from a rough... This is how you learn how to react, right?
I caught myself, like... Or actually caught a friend, but, like... I caught myself realizing something. Like, let's use traffic, another great example. because you mentioned the supermarket, right? So traffic. I think we've all done this. You'll fucking swear at people, you fucking asshole, and like when they cut you off or they, whatever it may be. And let's be honest, there are a lot of bad drivers out there, but okay, that's a different story. If we get cut off or whatever it may be, you know, someone drives crazy, the initial response usually is you fucking, you know, crazy asshole, whatever, like watch out. And I think we've all road rage at some point, and I definitely would have a lot more in the past. And I call my friend kind of road raging. And then I call myself seeing this from a different perspective to where, hey, you don't know what that person is going through. Like maybe they're rushing to the hospital because their son's born or someone is dying, or you don't know. Maybe they have someone in their car with like it's, you know, their leg hanging off, and we can come up with all these different scenarios, but we don't know why that person does that thing. So because of that, we also can't necessarily respond by being annoyed, because you don't know. Maybe they're not doing it on purpose. So let's not act like everyone's doing everything on purpose all the time.
There's two dimensions to this. Like, one is a fallacy that we have in our mind that is called the fundamental attribution error, which basically says if somebody else does something that is out of order, they're an idiot. And if you, in the same situation, create the same error, it's the context that made you do it. So if you get to blink when you're changing lanes, the people or the guy in front of you, he's an idiot. But when you do it, it's like, oh, sorry, my kid was talking to me, or my attention was somewhere else. Yeah. But that's one thing, right? And then there's something that when I do coaching that I'm really, really focused on, and that is judgment. Like, the minute I judge you, I know for a fact that I judge myself. So when I hear you judge somebody else, I know that if I asked you from a scale of 1 to 10 of your self-worth, it'd be below 5. Right. So just, this is where it all kind of rolls together. Because in your mind, where your ego lives, your ego is judging you, judging the environment. And the ego is the inner protector, right? It's there for a reason. Like, it's supposed to put you out of harm's way, but it doesn't know what's best for you as a human being. But if the ego takes a lot of place and you judge others, you also judge yourself. And if you judge yourself, then you're stuck. Like, and there's no reason. After doing this for, I've been in coaching and training for 20 years this year. That's when I started as an instructor. And I'm like, I can't see any reason to judge. And I would sit down, like, I would challenge you, like, give me any case, any scenario. There's no reason to self-punish, self-judge, judge others. And it all loops back. And this is where I say it all comes together, because I'm now starting to understand that everything we talk about comes about self-love. Like, your self-worth. Like, and it's become one of my biggest questions when I do coaching or when I meet people. I'll just ask them flat out, how much love do you have for yourself on a scale of 1 to 10? Like, in all the levels of challenges that you have in your life is linked to that number. Like, super basic, simple stuff, dude. Like, if that's a 10, shit, hell could rain. And you'd be like, it's okay. It's happening for a reason. I'm doing my best. If it's a 1, you're like, why is it raining hell? Who can I blame? Why does this happen to me? Like, I'm the victim here. That just blows me away.
I mean, that was a big realization for me personally last year. We briefly talked about this last time, like before we hit record, but I haven't shared a lot about it on the podcast at all, but like, I just went through a difficult time last year, like the second half of the year. And I realized that I didn't love myself that much, you know? Didn't hate myself either. Like, I wasn't like a 1. But it's pretty low on that skill.
Yeah.
Which is one of the hardest times I've gone through for years. But going back to your point in the beginning,
I can tell. Like, yeah, you are a significantly different guy today than you were when I met you 4 years ago. Like, I could feel that self-compassion that you have for yourself now. is different than it was 4 years ago when we first met.
Yeah. And I can see that now too. And thank you for mentioning that also, because I mean, I've noticed, but it's nice to hear that from someone else who also knows me. And, you know, it's, again, without getting too much into details and stuff, it was nothing too crazy, but still, it was a very difficult period of life. Going back to your point in the beginning, like, it's actually those hard times where you see the most growth. And it's difficult. Like, in the moment, you can say, like, oh, I'm grateful that life sucks right now, you know? As much as you might still know, like, hey, I'm going to grow from this. Or at least if you've gone through pain before and you know, like, hey, there's an end to it.
It always is.
But now I know, like, I've probably grown the most as a person, like, the last 7 months-ish, 6-7 months, than I have maybe ever in my life. Yeah. You know what I mean? So now I'm grateful for that period. And now I'm in a great spot, way better than before. And that's maybe something I want people to understand as well. I use this analogy sometimes. It's a little cheesy maybe, but it drives the point home. Because I, dude, just like you, right? We have clients' conversations every week, every day. People go through tough times. It's like, I don't think there's ever a week where everyone's just like up here 100%, everything's great. You know, like, that's what we coach. That's why we coach. Like, it's not about like, hey, here's your meal plan, or here's your exercise routine, or hey, okay, so you want to improve your mindset, do these kind of things. It's about the roadblocks and the obstacles and the struggles along the way, and then figuring stuff out, having someone on your team to do that. That's coaching, right? Otherwise, it's just like, hey, I'm providing you a protocol, or whatever you want to call it. And that works too in some cases. But anyway, to my point, there's always stuff that comes up. There's always difficult times. And the cheesy analogy I mentioned, it's like, I mean, first of all, okay, let's start here. So you've already gone through tough times. I can guarantee you that anyone listening and yourself and me, like, we can think back to a time where life sucked. And you also made it through that time, right? And you've overcome grief. You've overcome heartbreak. You've overcome so many things, people fucking you over. And maybe living with the consequences where you maybe did something wrong, right? But there's an end to it. And it's just like the weather. It's just like the seasons, right? I live up here in Tromsø, where we don't have sunlight, which is a bit more extreme than other places. But, you know, like, after that winter, it's going to be spring again. And then we have summer. And then everything is great. But even if it is summer and life is awesome, we know it's going to be fall again, and then winter. And it's the same with the weather, right? After a snowstorm, at some point it's going to be, you know, sunny again. But then it's going to be cloudy again. Then maybe you get a storm. And I want people to think about that too, because it will be like that. Like, life is seasonal, and your moods and happiness and all that is seasonal. And I've even done this, and maybe you do the same thing with certain clients. I've done this exercise too, with clients who were on a roll for months on end. And they were like, every check-in almost, it was like seeing progress, learning something new. We address something, they apply it right away. There's more growth. There's, you know, and I had to bring this up with people. I've done this multiple times and more recently. I'm like, hey, I'm not trying to be the party pooper here.
Yeah.
Because right now you're killing it. And I want you to keep with that momentum, and I want you to keep going. Because right now, if we're in this place, we can really start to push, you know? When it gets easy, let's go hard. You know what I mean? But understand that there will be an end to this. And maybe in the next check-in, maybe in a month, you're going to feel like, well, I might as well give up. Or you're hit with a massive setback, or whatever it is. I think even just acknowledging that and expecting setbacks and expecting this amazing period to eventually, you know, go away again, like the seasons, you can almost already work through it before it's happened and then potentially respond better. And that could be in so many different scenarios, of course. I mean, we can,
there's a bunch of ways of doing it. I used to coach the Norwegian referees, and one of the guys, they were on a roll. The team was on a roll. And we sat down and I said, let's now start preparing for when we have a bad spell. Like, who are we going to be? Like, not how are we going to handle it, but like, what are our thoughts going to be? How are we going to handle ourselves? How are we going to deploy curiosity once we get some decisions in a match that doesn't go our way? And then that's what I take out of what you're saying is that, okay, be curious about who do you want to be? How do you want to, like, when you hit those challenges? And this is all about stories. And that's one of the things that if I were to do a revision or a second book, I would want to add on more to the underlying stories, tracking our thoughts. Because we think, like, science are debating this. Like, it's not important, like, how many thousand thoughts we think a day. But there are recurring thoughts, 60 to 70,000. 90% of them are recycled from yesterday. 95% of them happens in the subconscious mind. Which, and this is just facts, but from that comes some statements. And the statements are beliefs that I have about myself in meeting with life. I am. I am not. I am always. And all of these comes from, like you said, the environment, experiences, feedback. And where my heart truly lies, like, if I could snap my fingers and make one change in the world, that'd be it. Because I think that's the door opener to everything. Like, if you could just know that all your thoughts and all your behaviors and all your action stem from limiting beliefs, or like the negative ones, and then you have beliefs that serve you by all means, but the limiting beliefs is what's holding you back. I've been telling myself that I don't deserve love my entire life. Because of all the nasty, bad shit that I've gone through, a belief got buried way down in my subconscious. And this is where the ego comes in, right? The ego goes, oh my God, this was so bad. I don't want you to remember this. And it locks it in. But it creates a defense mechanism or a strategy. And one of them is stay away from things that could create happiness because you don't deserve it. I've been self-sabotaging myself so intensely. And I wanted to share this this story with you because it's easy to just sit here and talk about this stuff and be on a superficial level, but I just want you to know and your audience to know that, like, everything that I talk about, I've lived through. That's the authentic part of it. And when we started working together, I literally had a diet problem. I did not eat well. Boy, was that the tip of the iceberg, right? I told the story for about a year now that I also had an unbalanced relationship with alcohol at the time, because I didn't know, because of all the things that I've experienced in my childhood and all the traumas, I didn't know how to downregulate myself. So beer, wine was perfect because I got to relax. But as we were working, like, I don't know if you ever thought about this throughout relationship, but I didn't even see it. I didn't even see it at the time. Like, I was self-sabotaging myself. I was working on nutrition while having 2 to 3 units of alcohol every night. And I didn't even communicate it to you. And that's how slippery the mind is. That's how slippery the human psyche is when we're in this destructive pattern. We create blind spots, and curiosity opens up blind spots. We create explanations and strategies to move around the problem in itself. Now, if I hadn't addressed nutrition, I would never have found myself in a situation understanding, like, I under-communicate the amount of alcohol that I put in this. That's not good. Like, and even though I felt it as a problem, it created more and more levels of awareness. And I had such a self-destructive behavior. And I had, on the face of it, a lot of self-love, a lot of self-compassion, right? Was just an entrepreneur, been going at it for 4 months, was killing it. But on the inside, it was like desolation. It was desert. I was empty. Like the image that I have of myself is like, it's all dried. Have you seen those movies where you move into a dry land where the trees are like, it looks like they've been standing there dried out for 100 years. That's how I pictured my inside, like as we started working. And I just want to share that because sometimes when you do stuff and you work with you and work with nutrition, like some of the things that might stop you from getting progress is subconscious programming. It is beliefs that you have about yourself. It's something that your parents said in the kitchen, that your relationship with food. It might be that every time you felt bad as a kid, your mom would give you sweets. Like, all of these things are truths about life that we carry with us. And when we want to be curious about it, that's when it can open up. But it takes time. And I'm super excited about us collaborating again earlier this spring, because I am on the inside a different man than I was 4 years ago, and I know this entire experience will be different. Now, should I judge myself based on what we did 4 years ago, 3 years ago, 4 years ago?
I think four now. Yeah.
No, I can't. Like, if I judge myself based on who I was at the time, I'm doing the things that I talked about earlier. I actually have to be grateful. The version that I was at that time made some decisions to take Johann into my life that enlightened parts of me that needed to be looked at, which entailed another step, another step, another step. And this is something that I've worked on. And it ties into mindset, right? I can sometimes, like, I get disgusted by the person that I was. And I was still loving, compassion, twin dad, soccer coach, everything. But when I look at myself, I'll be like, oh my God, you were worthless. And it's just, it comes instantly, right? And I have to sit down and be like, but you know what? I'm so grateful for that version of myself, because that was the guy who made the decision to work with Johann. That was the guy who made the decision to quit alcohol. That was the guy who made the decision to look into where do all these limiting beliefs come from. And that's my encouragement to everybody listening to this. That's my encouragement to the world. Like, be grateful of the version that you are right now and all the steps that you take, because it all leads in a direction and everything accumulates. And I just think that is so powerful.
Absolutely. I think a lot of times, I think we need that in order to grow. Of course, you know, sure, if people are doing great, they don't want to keep improving, absolutely. But I think the actual growth comes from our flaws and pains. And this could be in any context. But like you said, right? It's because you were at that point with the alcohol and, you know, those kind of things, and even sometimes like maybe hiding it in check-ins, whatever. It's because of going through that that you had the realization, and then you did something about it. And another thing too that I want to bring up as well, which is that you made a decision to say, hey, you know what? I do need some help here.
Yeah.
You know, I do need help with nutrition. That's why personally I've been working with coaches and mentors, I mean, for years now, since I started this, you know what I mean? To get that accountability, the guidance, to have someone on my team to pull me out of my own head. Because literally the only thing, this is almost like cheesy to say as well, because it's maybe like overused, but like, you're the only person who's in your own way, you know?
100%. It's not cheesy. Because if it was cheesy, everybody would talk about it, but not do it. But it's a fact.
Or maybe I just see that one a lot because of the profiles and things I follow on Instagram. But that makes sense.
Yeah, because the people that we are mentored by, or that we get inspired by, that is a given, right?
Yeah, that's actually a good point.
Yeah. And just to understate what you're saying is that, like, you are the only person standing in your own way. And if you're sitting here and be like, no, Tim, that's wrong, because my kids or my husband or my wife or my parents or my job, Well, if you put the responsibility for your life on everybody else, you don't have any autonomy. You don't have any power over like what you can do. And what you just said, it's not cheesy at all. It's like, it's a pure fact. And I just love seeing that shift moment in people when I do coaching, when they move from a victimhood and into understanding, like, I am in total control of this. Like, 100%. I can decide what I want to think, what I want to feel, who I want to be, what my actions are. And like we said, is it going to be easy? No. Is it going to be worth it? Every day of the week. And that is so, I think that is so inspiring. Now, does that mean that success happens overnight? No.
Dude, no way. I mean, you know, it always takes time, man. Like, I tell my clients the same thing that you're saying too. It's like, hey, no one told you this was going to be 10 kilos in 4 weeks. And if they tell you, then they're full of shit.
I know.
Which we know, I mean, to be fair, I mean, the health and fitness space in general is full of that. No one said it was going to take a few weeks to fix years and decades of certain behaviors, or that it's going to be quick and that it's going to be effortless. And like, no, like, we're going to have to do some work here, you know? And I'm not saying that to scare people off, but hey, look, like, if this stuff was easy, whether it's nutrition, whether it's fitness, sports, whatever, whether it's mindset, it's going to take work, man.
Yeah.
It's going to take a lot of work.
And I think at least it's supposed to be easy, but where the world has developed into, we made it hard on ourselves. So the comeback to like just living in true self, just living in accordance with our values and our authentic self, yeah. That is like, the journey back is going to be tough because we've done things a certain way. And I just want to share something that, and just lift something up that you said, because I too have worked with coaches, especially over the last 4 years. And there's a picture that I have of this that I love explaining, is that if life is climbing stairs, like you're always going to be on a step of stairs. There's always going to be a level higher from where you are today, and there's always going to be a set of stairs that you passed, that you have accomplished or achieved. Now, if that is life, that means there is always someone who can help you. If you just dare to look up the next set of stairs and be like, okay, wow, this is difficult, and just hear, like, changing your questions, like, I understand that now, like, this is heavy, this is tiring, I lose motivation and I have to work on myself. And then you look up and then you have Johan reaching his hand down. He's like, hey buddy, I was down at that step, like, let me help you. That is how the world actually is put together. It's people finding solutions, being problem solvers, being curious, and then helping each other. And for every step, and this is where it becomes very empowering, like, I want to challenge all your listeners, like, if you look back for your entire life, what is it that you have achieved? If you want to go 1 year from now, 3 years from now, 5 years back, 10 years back, something that you thought was difficult at the time, but now is something that is super simple to you. That is an example of you solving a problem, finding a solution. Once you've made through that shift, you can actually turn around and you can find people that are in the same spot you were 1 year, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years ago. And wow, do we become more connected when we work like that.
100%.
Like, of course we have a client coach relationship, but pretty much you're just moving me through hoops that you have moved through yourself.
Yeah.
Right?
And which, so I think,
do the same. I turn around now and I see people struggling and I go, hey, let me tell you about the macros. Like, this is what I know. And there's three things that I want to share with you. Like, that is how I give back.
I love that. I think there's a lot you can figure out by yourself. It's hard.
What is it though?
But no, I mean, what I'm trying to say is, like, for people, so let's put ourselves in people's shoes, where whether it's nutrition, mindset, whatever, when you begin that journey of figuring things out and you go online, it's very confusing and it's overwhelming. And you're exposed to a lot of things that may not be helpful at all, or that may not apply to you. And that's where I think coaching, mentorship, guidance, whatever you want to call it, comes in. Even if it's just a friend who just went through that, like you said, right? At least you can learn something from the people who have already made the mistakes or who've already overcome certain obstacles. And I actually think that that is the only way to shortcut some of the processes of growth through, and this could even be reading a book, by the way, right? Or listening to a podcast, but like learning from others' experience who've been there. I think that's a huge one. And I do really believe like that's one of the few shortcuts.
I 100% agree. And then I think the reason I wanted to interrupt you is because there is no figuring it out yourself, right? Because if we, well, it is, if you go into the woods and sit there for 2 weeks, like something is going to come up, but we don't live in that. You're going to go online. Now, the mental models or coaches that you choose them wisely. Like you would choose in-person relationship. Which podcast do you listen to when you want to solve your next problem? What resource do you read? Like, and be picky about it. In today's world of communication, some people, they will do whatever it takes to sell you their idea of the world and their pick on it and their product for profit. And just be mindful. And then once you, it's okay to learn the left and the right. It's okay to understand vegan and carnivore diet. But decide for yourself. And that's what, like, coaching doesn't always have to be an in-person thing. Like, there's also a financial thing about it. But if you, like, sit down and decide, like, who are my coaches and mentors going to be that I listen to and check in with every week? Who is it that's going to inspire me to do the next thing or the next action? And I think, like, that is one of the things that fires me up with having my own podcast is, like, I would get messages of people listening to our podcast for 3 years and then they have a breakthrough in life. Like, you said one thing back in 2023 and I did this and this is where I'm at now. It's like, wow. So I learned something and then I shared a story and somebody else used that. Like, they were on the level of the stairs further down and they took it and now they're climbing the stairs. And I think just by rounding that up, summarizing it, like, you are gonna hit the next set of stairs, period. Like, life is gonna match your level of growth with the level of problems that you get. Like, my everyday life, I still have stuff to deal with. I still have stuff that gives me sore ankles and heavy heart. But if I were given these problems 10 years ago, I would cripple. But it's always going to shine because it gives me the opportunity to grow.
I think that's powerful. I think there's one more thing I want to wrap it up with, is to understand that as much as it may sound like you have everything, you got your shit together, right? Or me for nutrition or whatever it may be. But like, no, like, stuff will still come up. And you must have this too. Like, I definitely have this a lot, man. Like, with whether it's content, podcasts, business, like, you're gonna have those self-doubt moments where you start to catastrophize and it's like, what if I'm not good enough, or what if everything goes to shit? And you know, we're all gonna have those moments still. And that's maybe one thing I want to leave it up with, because we can do all the mindset work, we can learn all these things about nutrition and fitness, whatever, doesn't mean that once we learn that, everything will just be sunshine. Because that's not the case. Because you just get to a next level, and with that new level, there's going to be some new stuff to deal with, you know? Which is also the cool thing, because that's how you know that you can always keep growing as well.
I have to add one last thing.
Sure.
And I think it's a term that I came up with myself, probably borrowed it from someone, I can't remember. But I call it bounce back time. So everything we do is, okay, good. So you try to meditate and your mind went to, what am I going to have for dinner? Bounce back time. How much time does it take me to come back to my breath? Okay, so we're working on mindset and something broke or something didn't go as planned. How long does it take me to come back? Yep. Now, if we focus on breaking down the bounce back time and shortening that, okay, it took me 2 days to get over that mistake. Okay, now it took me 1 day. Now it took me 2 hours. Like, in the end, you're going to live in the now. And there are going to be no noticeable bounce back time because the exercise is coming back here and now. Okay, that didn't go as planned. Coming back here and now. Okay, I didn't say what I was supposed to say with Joe and Kate, coming back to the now. If you do that over time, like, you're going to be more here in the now. Like, it's going to happen, boom, you come back. I just love that. And that is what we're practicing. Okay, so you eat a chocolate. Fine, bounce back time. Okay, yep. So you forget the track. Okay, bounce back time. Like, everything, bounce back time. That's all we talk about. How long are you going to sit here? I have a 10-year-old son. They lost a game. He was pissed off. And I said, fine, be pissed off. I recognize your feelings, my son. When are you going to come back? You decide. And he said, 5 minutes, Dad. I'm like, good. See you in five.
There you go.
Right? I just love that.
That's parenting. I love that, man. Like, 100%. How quick can you pick it back up?
Yeah, bounce back time.
So huge. Dude, this was great. I definitely want to bring it back on the podcast because I feel like we could keep going for a few hours. And I'm sure we will in the future. But
thank you.
Also want to obviously share a few things that you're currently doing. You're in the middle of a launch. So do you have any news that you want to share with our listener, and where can people find you?
Ooh. Oh, thank you for that. Right now we're in the launch, which is probably going to be in the midst of when this episode launches. But for the past 5 years, I've been working as a soccer coach for my son's team. And 20 years in the mental training domain, I've seen that we get trained on all the different exercises that we do on the field. We get very little training on what is it that actually happens inside of the human mind and the human body once the children evolve. And so we created a program which is not too late to join when you hear this, if this calls to you, because it's going to be an ongoing program. We have 10 modules a year. Every module is a Zoom call that is a trainer meeting or coach meeting. We have a new subject, and then we do Q&As, and it's going to be rolling. And the whole point is creating the more insights and understanding of who we are as coaches, and in that, who the children are as athletes. I'm super excited about that. And then also, it's a social responsibility project with all the mental health issues that we talk about. Like, I want to do something. And when I talk to professionals about this, they go, oh, it's so complicated and it's this and that. I'm like, no. All right, what's one thing I can do? I can do youth sports and try to enhance the understanding and knowledge of the parents and the coaches and the trainers. We also have an upcoming coaching program in Heart Mentality. It's going to launch in April. If you guys want to get to know us, we're Team Heart Mentality on Instagram. My Instagram is Tim Ludi. I would love for you to reach out, give us some feedback on this episode. Yeah, man. Thanks for having me. I just have to say, I forgot to say this in the introduction. Like, this is my first ever guest on a non-Norwegian speaking podcast. And it's actually, like, it's so much fun, and it gives me motivation to just know that I have a lot of great friends in the U.S. and now they get to listen in. So I just want to thank you for that, for opening that door and making this safe space. And it was such a fun.
Of course, man. I mean, thank you too for, like, bringing me on and doing our first, like, English podcast on your podcast.
Yeah.
No, I think it's cool too, because we have a lot of listeners from all over the world. A lot of Norwegians, you know, like, we're very focused on, like, Norway, and it's also where I live. I want to, you know, help our area, you know, give back to the community in a way. But, like, now we got people from the US and Canada, and dude, you have so much good stuff to share, you know. It's good to be able to share that with other people as well.
I know, but that, like, if we want to sum up the past hour, like, that is one of the things that I need to work on. Like, one of my limiting beliefs is, like, I have to do this in Norwegian.
But you don't.
I know. and then it's all about, like, my mind takes away. And this is literally what I'm in right now. You're giving me a step of my personal development. I I need to trust myself more into using the English language and get in contact with people around the world.
Because you know what it is too, man? Like, it's also about just the courage of just taking that step.
I know.
I can tell you this, because I've reached out to multiple Norwegian coaches to bring them on the podcast. And I will say this. So now my Norwegian is at a level where we could do it half Norwegian, half English, where I would speak English and they would answer Norwegian. That would work now. But I had a lot of people being interested, but they didn't want to do it because it wasn't English and they didn't feel confident enough to do that, which I 1,000% resonate with. 1,000%.
Yeah.
But is it YouTube that step?
Is it because of fear, or is it because of that they don't have enough English language to be understood?
Either.
Right?
Could be either. You know what I mean?
I to be honest, like, this is a great example of everything that we talked about.
Yeah.
Because shit, I don't put myself on any pedestal. I'm not better than anybody else. I'm dealing with my own shit. And this is one of them. Yeah. Like, understanding that this is okay. It's not dangerous. And it could be possibly cool. Like, it could be like an idea that I have to marinate. And you've probably done this too. Like, there might be someone in Germany that's waiting to listen to what I have to say. Like, there's, and this is where I, oh my God, I'm drawing a blank. Compare myself to others, right?
Yeah.
But there's so many good English speaking coaches. Why should I? Right? That's a limiting belief. Like, okay, you have to deal with that.
It's about taking that step anyway.
I know.
Dude, I had this with everything, man. And then we'll wrap it up because I know you got to go. But like, public speaking.
Yeah.
Doing webinars. Doing the podcast. These were all things that back in 2020, 21, I knew I kind of like in quotes, like should be doing, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And I've had a hard time with, you know, recording the videos and, you know, getting on my stories and those kind of things. And it was because of my mentors at the time pushing me, as well as some friends as well, who said, hey, do the thing and take that first step. And then, you know, and then you'd make that first step and then you realize, oh shit, okay, this is very uncomfortable. But because I now decide to approach my weaknesses and the things that I think are scary, I get to grow.
Yeah.
And I get to get better. And
that's such a good way to round up the entire conversation, because that is proof that you're living authentically with everything that we talked about. Right? I too was scared. 4 years ago, I didn't make any videos of myself. Like, now I do. I don't think they're any good yet. I'm still in practice, but I think this is just a great way to sum it all up, because it proves that we actually eat our own medicine and do our best in challenging that mindset and living from a true heart. Wow.
100%.
Thank you.
Dude, thank you. Again, I love this conversation. I love the other one that we had on your podcast as well. I'll make sure to link all your info in the show notes as well as your podcast too. And then I'm sure we're going to talk again pretty soon.
I would love to. Thank you.
See you, man.
Appreciate it, brother.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Talking Nutrition Podcast with your host, Johan Vesters. Please be sure to like and subscribe on your favorite podcast platform so that you never miss an episode.